woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And it's an exciting moment. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, and my technical engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful morning we woke up today. I cannot believe it. And here we are already, February 13th, one day before Valentine's Day. Well, I would like to wish my listeners a happy, happy Valentine's Day tomorrow. It's one of my favorite holidays. Why? Because we celebrate love. We celebrate kindness. We recognize each other. We love each other. It's a day of love, and I love that. That's a really good one. I love that, a day of love. So I encourage you, you know, I mean, it's important to bring flowers. It's important to bring candy and all that other good stuff that we do traditionally. But the most important thing is, I think, is to walk up to those people that you care about and just give them a big hug and say, I love you. That means more to me than a box of candy or a flower. And it was interesting. I was talking with Ken the other night, and I said, you know, it's really interesting. He grows flowers. Instead of bringing flowers to me, he grows flowers. And we have these beautiful, beautiful yellow daffodils. And I'll tell you, it just makes you feel so happy. And that's what we have to do in today's world. We have to find those little kernels that bring happiness and joy to us, because we know we're in a big struggle these last few weeks. It's very, very interesting. Well, I have two very special guests with me this morning, and they're in the studio. A dear friend of mine, Faith Ross, who's one of the founding members of the Petaluma Black for Community Development and a distinguished member of the Sonoma County Human Rights. That's where I met Faith, that we served together. And she will be talking about Black History Month and the special exhibit at the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum in Petaluma. And let me tell you something, folks. Last year, when they did the Women's History Project, I had to drop a few things off, and I was very excited because I got to see the Black History exhibit that they had last year. And I'll tell you something, I really felt bad that I had missed it and felt very lucky that I got there the day before they were going to take it down so I could see it. So I really encourage you to find a way to get out to Petaluma to see that exhibit. And we'll be talking more about addresses and all that other good thing. Also joining me in the studio is a very special person to me, Gloria Robinson, a longtime member of the community, and also one of the co-founders of the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development and former secretary and co-founder of the NAACP here in Sonoma County. And I'm really, really excited about having these two women and the conversation that we're going to have. Well, folks, it's official. March 22nd, KBBF 89.1 FM, along with the Women's Spaces, along with the Women Board of Supervisors, Susan Gorin, Linda Hopkins, and Shirley Zane. And by the way, the first time in 100, it's going to be interesting, because one of the things that I have always thought is that if we have more women in power and they have a greater percentage of the power, we might be able to move things forward in a more positive way. So this is going to be true, because when you look at the Santa Rosa City Council, which, by the way, tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the Santa Rosa City Council chambers, talking about C Media, the Community Media Center in downtown Santa Rosa, to see if that should stay open. So there's some really important stuff going on. But back to the Union Hall at 1700 Corby Avenue, Santa Rosa, and I will have more information as we get closer to the event. And also, like I said, Community Development and Petaluma Museum Association, and their already events are already starting, and like I said, we're going to be talking about that quite extensively. The Historical Library and Museum is located at 20 Fourth Street in downtown Petaluma. And if you want to get some more information, you can call 707-778-4398. there's no reason you should be bored here in Sonoma County. There's so much going on. I mean, we've got Black History Month this month, and then next month is Women's History Month, and lots of things that you can enjoy and meet and greet other people. You know, one of the things, if you remember the conversation I had last week with Harriet Fodd, we talked about the fact that one of the things that's not happening in our communities is we're not connecting enough. Well, these are the type of things that help us connect. These are the type of events that help us get to know each other. I mean, you know, women's history is so important. Black history is so important. Why? Because there has been a lot of oppression and a lot of work to get us to the place where we are. And we have to understand our history, because if we don't understand it, it's very easy to have it taken away from us. Well, talking about February 15th, Susan B. Anthony will be, she was born in 1820, so that means she would be 98 years old, right? 2 years, one year in 19, I guess. No, she'd be over to almost 200 years. She began her life as a long-time woman suffrage when she met Elizabeth Cady Stanton in 1852. Together, they organized the National Women's Suffrage Association in 1869. Anthony edited its newspaper and traveled extensively, organizing and lecturing. What courage! I mean, when she was born, I mean, women couldn't even own property, for heaven's sakes. She said, one of the things she said is that she believed that failure was impossible. And here we are, almost 100 years ago when women first got the vote, and we're having some of these issues. It's mind-boggling to me. It really is, to think about that there's a chance that we might be losing some of our freedoms. Well, as you know, February is Black History Month, and in honor of this month, each Monday in February, I will be telling you about an African-American woman who made a difference in our world. Women need to know their history and the contribution other women's made. It gives us all confidence and courage. But not only that, it lets us see that we're really all traveling on the same lane here, you know, trying to get our rights. You know, trying to get our rights. I mean, when we were given the vote in 1920, if you watch Iron-Jawed Angels, the movie with Hilary Swank, you will see that we only got the vote by one vote. Well, let's look at the Black American and their history, how hard it is for them to get the vote. And here we are in 2017, and we're still debating voting rights. I mean, a no-brainer, where everybody should have rights, and we're still talking about voting rights. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Well, what I decided to do, because I've been honoring a woman every month, Monday, I start thinking about it, what happened with Elizabeth Warren when she was on the floor talking about trying to read a letter from Coretta Scott King. And it kind of hit me suddenly, and I thought to myself, you know, everybody knows about Martin Luther King, but how many people really know about his wife, Coretta Scott King? I mean, she was a major influence behind what he was doing. And not only that, you know, it's very interesting. There's an old saying, you know, behind every great man, there's a woman. Well, definitely, we know that Martin Luther King was a great man, but she was a great woman. She was not only a wife and a mother, but she was like kind of a comrade. She was an activist with him. I mean, I remember in some of the marches, I see her and him holding hands as they're walking towards the crowd. I mean, that took a lot of courage to do some of the things that she has done. And the fact that she took the time to write this letter to oppose somebody who she felt was not treating people fairly. And you know, the way she writes it, I mean, it's so sophisticated. But before I read the letter, I want to tell you a little bit about Coretta Scott King. Although best known as the wife of 1960 civil rights leader Martin Luther King, Coretta Scott King, 1927, and she passed away in 2006, established a distinctive career in activism on her own right. Working side by side with her husband throughout the 1950s and 60s, King took part in the Montgomery bus boycott of 1955 and worked to pass the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Her memoir, My Life with Martin Luther King, was published in 1969. oh, I can't even say this word, following her husband's assassination. I will never forget that day. In 1968, she continued their work, founding the Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolent Social Change in Atlanta, Georgia. She served as the center's president and chief executive office from its inception. In 1980, a 23-acre site around King's birthplace was designated for use by the King Center. The following year, a museum complex was dedicated on the site. King was behind the 15-year fight to have her husband's birthday instituted as a national holiday. President Ronald Reagan finally signed the bill in 1983. What an accomplishment. I mean, think about that. This woman lobbied to get a national holiday for her husband. I mean, not only was it a national holiday, but we have to remember he was an African-American man, and that was a big deal when Ronald Reagan finally signed that bill in 1983. I remember that day because I remember that we were signing petitions and doing all kinds of stuff to make sure that that happened. Well, she passed away in 2006. For me, she is still alive today and creating quite a stir, as Senator Elizabeth Warren was silenced when she attempted to read a letter that King wrote to the Honorable Strom Thurmond regarding the nomination of Jefferson B. Sessions to be a U.S. Southern District judge in Alabama. Well, it wasn't a good idea, according to her. And what's so mystifying to me is, you know, we live in a democracy, and these people that are in these positions are extremely important. You know, when you have someone like Coretta Scott King who took the time, I mean, it's a 10-page document, and all you have to do is put letter Coretta Scott King, and you can find the whole document. It's a 10-page document. I mean, she's not calling him names. She's not saying anything, you know, negative as far as in a negative kind of language. But what she's saying is this is what her fears are. This is what her concerns are. This is what we as a nation need to pay attention to, Coretta Scott King. But you got to think of this. Let's forget about that she was Dr. King's wife. Let's just look at thinking of what is happening in the Deep South. I mean, I remember eyes and listening to that speech, and I saying to myself, you know, I have a dream too about who am I as a person? Who am I as a community person? What are my biases? You know, am I a racist? Am I someone? I was brought up Jewish, and I know when I was about 18 years old, I met this woman who was so brilliant, I couldn't believe it, and I said to her, are you Jewish? She says, why? You think only the Jews are smart? Well, I was brought up to believe that. I was brought up to believe those things. So you have to start looking at your biases. And when she wrote this letter was a concern, not only for her, not only for her people, but for our country, that we maintain our democracy and we have fairness. So let me read the letter to you. And like I said, you can go online and just type in on Google, you know, Coretta Scott King letter, Elizabeth Warren, you know, it's all over the place now. And what's so funny, they silenced Elizabeth Warren, but yet there were three men that ended up reading it. So, I mean, I had to scratch my head and say, you know, what the heck is going on here? Okay, so here's the letter. This is just the first page. Like I said, it's a 10-page document, and they have all kinds of information. It's very, very interesting. So the letter was written. It came from the Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolent Social Change. You know, for nonviolent social change. You know, Martin Luther King was very influenced by Mahatma Gandhi when it comes to the nonviolent action. It was written to the Honorable Strom Thurmond, Chairman of the Committee on the Judiciary of the United States Senate. And this was a nomination of Jefferson B. Sessions, U.S. Judge, Southern District of Alabama. And it was a hearing in March of 1986, March 13th, 1986. Dear Senator Thurmond, I want to express my sincere opposition to the confirmation of Jefferson B. Sessions as a federal district court judge for the Southern District of Alabama. My professional and personal roots in Alabama are deep and lasting. Anyone who has used the power of his office as United States Attorney to intimidate and chill the free exercise of the ballot by citizens should not be elevated to our courts. Mr. Sessions has used the awesome powers of his office in a shabby attempt to imitate and frighten elderly black voters. For this reprehensible conduct, he should not be awarded with a federal judgeship. I regret that a long-standing commitment prevents me from appearing in person to justify against this nominee. However, I have attached a copy of my statement opposing Mr. Sessions' confirmation, and I request that my statement as well as the letter be made as part of that hearing record. I do sincerely urge you to oppose the confirmation of Mr. Sessions. Sincerely, Coretta Scott King. Now, then there's about 9 pages that follow with her recommendations and her thoughts and feelings. But what's so interesting about this is at the time that she wrote it, it was not put into the record. For some reason, it did not make it to the record. But guess what, folks? It's in the record now. So, you know, even though, you know, there's an old saying, that which is true will be revealed. And that's what happened. I mean, all of a sudden, here this letter shows up. Very interesting, but it's something to think about. And the question that I have for my senators and my congressmen, why did you not pay attention to this letter? This is a woman who was on the ground. She wasn't sitting in a newsroom. She was on the ground. She saw what was happening. She experienced it. It was right in front of her eyes. And yet, one woman, after we just had something like 6 or 7 million women across the whole globe marching, and a woman is silenced when another woman who is speaking not only for her people, but for the children, for the future, for all of us. So it's a lot to think about, folks, an awful lot to think about. And, you know, we're in some real interesting times. And I call them interesting because we have some decisions to make. You know, there's a lot of religious talk going on, you know, about God and ordaining of God and everything and all this great stuff. Well, during the time in the concentration camps, there was a man by the name of Eli Witzel. And he wrote a book called The Trial of God. And what's so interesting about this book, you got to imagine these poor souls in these concentration camps hardly had any food, and there they are putting God on trial. Well, at the end of it, to say that, you know, that the Germans were violating God's law and all that other good stuff, well, they found God not guilty because God gave us free will, and free will means that we're a choice. So every person that violates another person has to ask themselves that question, do I really want to do this? You know, am I really doing this, or is this something that I think I have to do or someone is pushing me to do? So there's a lot to think about. Choice is very, very important. Well, that's a lot to chew on, I'll tell you. Really, it's been a lot for me. You know, Black History Month has been very interesting for me because I get into all the different women and I start reading some of the things and I say to myself, bless all of you for having the courage to stand up and say, you know, I have a right as a person to be noticed. I have a right to be free. I have a right to have equal rights. It took a lot of courage. I mean, when I think of Coretta Scott King marching with Martin Luther King Jr., I can see that vision and the courage. I mean, she was a mother of several children. I mean, she was taking some pretty big risks being out there, and yet there they were. So, special shout out to Coretta Scott King. Thank you for all you've done. I know you're up in the heavens somewhere if you can hear us. And also a special shout out to Elizabeth Warren for standing up and attempting to do something. And you know, no matter how you slice it, 2 things happened. 1, it was read. And 2, it went into the record. So that is very exciting. Well, that's a lot to think about, and I'll tell you, I didn't realize I'd get into such a rant about all this stuff, but it's very important. It's very important. We have 2 special history months, and it's important that we learn our history. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and here's another thing. I found a wonderful song. I know, I'm so excited. I'm so excited because Ken has been on me to get women's music, and I finally got a gift certificate for iTunes, and I'm so excited we're going to be able to get lots of good women's music in here. Well, today I'm going to be playing a special song that is sung by Holly Near. It's called Harriet Tubman, again, in honor of Black History Month. Harriet Tubman is another one of my heroes. Harriet Tubman was born into slavery. I mean, can you imagine? Here is this woman born into slavery. She had all these children that she had to give up. I mean, I think there was one daughter she had that she was finally able to be with. And can you imagine? She's going with, and then all of a sudden she becomes a free woman. And then she's on the Underground Railroad. All the risks that she took. I mean, when I think about it, my heart starts beating. I mean, it's amazing. Well, Tubman was born into slavery. She was an American abolitionist, a humanitarian, and I had no idea about this, an armed scout and spy for the United States Army during the American Civil War. Amazing. When we return, I will be talking with Faith Ross, one of the founding members of the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development and a distinguished member of the Santa Rosa Human Rights Commission, and we'll be talking about Black History Month and the exhibit at the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum in Petaluma. Also joining me will be Gloria Robinson, a longtime member of the community and one of the founders also of the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development and former secretary and co-founder of the NAACP here in our county. And actually, Gloria is going to give us an overview of Black History Month, and I'm really excited to hear that. So let's go on and let's listen to Harriet Tubman, sung by Holly Near, and when we be back, we'll be talking with our two guests.
One night I dreamed I was in slavery. About 1850 was the time. Sorrow was the only sign, and nothing around to ease my mind. Then out of the night appeared a lady leading a distant pilgrim band. First mate, she said, pointing her hand, make room aboard for this young woman.
I've got a lifeline. I'm thinking of that. This woman just with taking people in the dark of night. I mean, it gives me goosebumps when I think about it. Anyway, for you just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners the opinions presented here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two great guests here in the studio, Faith Ross and Gloria Robinson. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. It's really nice to be here with you this morning.
I know. It's so much fun. Go ahead, Gloria.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here and share Black History Month with the community.
Well, this is just an honor to have both of you here. And before we start, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. I just want to give a little critique. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Okay, let's introduce Faith Ross first. And Faith Ross and I had the honor of serving with her on the Human Rights Commission. And she's still there for another few years' terms. And we both, we worked on communications and outreach together and also some wonderful resolutions. And it's a joy. You know, that's one of the things about getting involved, folks, is you get to meet people and get to be friends with them because they begin to see you and know you, know who you are in your heart, etc. Well, let's talk a little bit about Faith. Excuse me. Faith Ross is currently involved in her community of Petaluma through Petaluma Blacks for Community Development. It's called PBCD. And she's also involved with the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum and the Petaluma Christian Church. And I have to give you a compliment, Faith. I mean, the exhibits that you helped put together are just amazing to me.
Thank you.
She's a native California but was raised in Louisiana. Ross graduated from Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with a degree in business administration. She retired from the auditor assessor's office at the County of Sonoma after working in public service for many, many years. She continues to learn new material, taking courses at local colleges in San Francisco and Sonoma County. She also has been the curator of several successful exhibitions at the museum, including Women Who Fought for Civil Rights and the Many Faces of Petaluma. And that Many Faces of Petaluma was an excellent exhibit, the ethnic and cultural diversity of our city. As one of the founding members of the PBCD, Ross has helped to promote an understanding of Black history and culture by providing a free community Black history program and other events during Black History Month. She also teaches Sunday school and the treasure of her church. Where do you get all that energy?
I don't know.
it's interesting. Sometimes when people introduce me, I say to myself, I'm really doing all that stuff? Well, welcome, Faith. It's wonderful. And let's talk a little bit now about Gloria Robinson. And it was really interesting. I met Gloria about a year ago in Petaluma when they had the Women's History Month. We went to an event together, and I met her. And it was just such an honor to find out all about the history. And what's so cute about it is that when they did the first history march in 1980, I said, Gloria, where are you? She says, oh, I'm right at the end, right cut off. It was... Anyway, Gloria Robinson is a longtime member of the community and one of the founders of the Petaluma Black for Community Development and former secretary and co-founder of the NAACP right here in our county. Born in Miami, Florida. Oh, my goodness. Born in segregated Miami, Florida in the South. Gloria learned at an early age the injustice of segregation. By age 26, she was married with 4 children. Her husband's employment brought the family to San Francisco, then Marin County, and finally settling in Petaluma. Weren't we lucky? Anyway, she was one of the first appointed members, one of the first. I guess there were several other firsts, but you were part of the first group of members to the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women. And what people don't recognize, to get the Commission on the Status of Women was just about as hard as pulling teeth, I'm telling you, until women were finally recognized. I mean, people have no idea what we went through in the 70s to be able to get some of the things that we have. She was one of the first appointed members to the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women, where she coordinated the Women of Color Task Force and developed the Women of Color section for the 1980 Commission on the Status of Women Report and the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement for Colored People, where she served as secretary and volunteer coordinator. Well, welcome. Welcome, Gloria. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Anything either one of you would like to add that I might have left off from this beautiful resume?
I'd just like to thank you. I don't want to take time out to correct a couple of those things.
Oh, please do. No.
Okay. As that information about secretary That belongs to the National Association of Negro Business and Professional Women.
Ah, okay.
I was a part of that group. Sonoma County, years ago we had that committee here, and I was secretary on that. And
well, you know what we should do, Gloria? We should go through some of your bios and make those corrections, because, you know, this is where I got all the information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to update you.
Okay. I appreciate
but thank
that.
You. No, I appreciate you sharing it, because I don't want to misrepresent you, and I really appreciate it. And, you know, and that's another thing about women's spaces. The whole idea with women's spaces is that we speak up, we speak our truth, and we think about one another. And that's a simple solution to all our problems, I think. So thank you for sharing, my dear. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're about to celebrate Black History Month, so Gloria, you have something that you would like to read. Why don't you go ahead and do that right now? This is a little background. Is this a little background on Black History Month?
Yes, it's the history of Black History Month. Black History Month has been recognized since 1926, first as Negro History Week, and later as Black History Month. Although blacks have been in America at least as far back as colonial times, it was not until the 20th century that they gained a respectable presence in the history books. I didn't see those books when I was going to school, but I guess we were there somewhere. We owe the celebration of Black History Month to Dr. Carter G. Woodson. He launched Negro History Week as an initiative to bring national attention to the contribution of black people throughout American history. In 1976, the month-long celebration was implemented and is a time for Americans to reflect on both the history and teachings of African Americans whose contributions are still too little known.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you read that, Gloria, and I have to ask you this one question, because you did grow up in the segregated South. So when you were growing up, I don't think they had Black History Month. Am I correct?
Right.
Okay, so how did that affect you when all of a sudden the national attention started to happen? What impact did that have on you as a young woman?
As a young woman, it didn't have any impact on me because of the fact that blacks were... Where I grew up, we were all in the same neighborhood, so it was the norm. I always say I thought the way America and the way we were living was the norm, yeah.
So when did you find out it wasn't the norm? When did you...
When the Civil Rights Act movement started, then I realized, oh, you know. But before then, you knew what side of the track you lived on, and you stayed on that side and didn't mangle.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I was brought up Jewish, and the Jews are like that. They're kind of ghettoized. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, I asked this one woman, were you Jewish? Because what I was taught was only the Jews were the smart ones. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was a shock coming out. And it was also a shock to me to find out some of the horrors that not only your people, but the Native American people suffered, mm-hmm. and the Chinese suffered. We were just hearing this morning about how they segregated the Chinese who were building our railroads. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing.
And the Armenians, everybody seemed to have a story to share about segregation. It's amazing how, you know, even the Armenian people, you know, they had...
Well, another thing happened personally to me is I was watching this movie. It was called The Woman in Gold. It was about a painting that was confiscated from a Jewish family in Austria, and this woman was trying to get it back. But the thing that really got to me, two things that got to me, was one is when we saw in the film the Nazis went in and cleaned the house out, you realize it didn't matter whether you had money or not. When you have an oppressive state that's coming in, that's it. It's over. And the second thing is that I realized is the disruption. You know, when you think of Harriet Tubman, who had all these children, a lot of them were taken away from her. You think of the drama and the emotion and the horror that people feel. You can't understand how others can put that on them. Mm-hmm. And that's why do you think, now here you are, a young woman who came from the segregated South, and then all of a sudden realizing, oh my goodness, you know, there is a problem here. How does that feel today, now that people are putting so much emphasis on Black History Month, and also we have the Black Lives Matter movement? How do you relate to that?
I feel real good about it, because it's important that the generation that's coming up now be aware of from whence we came. You know, they need to know, not only them, but the world needs to know, you know, the history of slavery, the history of segregation, you know, and all of that. So I feel very good about the different movements that's happening. And every time I see the commercials on TV, it's Black History Month, I get a smile on my face.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that people need to know their history.
Yeah.
And where they came from. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know your history and you don't know what's happened, you don't see the potential. You know, what's important about these histories, say with African Americans or with the Holocaust, is mm-hmm. that you actually can see a picture of what human beings are capable of doing. Mm-hmm. That we have to really look about how we train ourselves and how we restrain ourselves.
Right.
So that is why history, I believe, is. Would you agree with that?
I agree, but it's also the fact that as you know your history, you know what has happened in the past. And so you don't want to go back. You want to go forward.
Exactly.
And it makes you aware of that. And it makes you feel like you see that, so that you become more conscious of what's going on right now. I mean, especially today, you want to know that history and understand that you don't want to go back to that. And so it makes you want to be involved and get to know what's going on, be able to say and to talk and to speak and to act on what's going on and not just sit back and let things happen to you. You want to be, you know, proactive in it.
And also not to be fooled.
Exactly.
You know, because
exactly.
to see that, you know, there's always that imminent danger. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to use the word danger, but there always is that danger of when you have rights of them
being taken away from you.
And it's so hard to win them, but let me tell you something, when all of a sudden you win something and you take it away, it's three times as hard to get it back. That's why it's so important.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. That is so important, that history, you know, and that we know about those things. Well, let's talk a little bit about the celebration. What are some ways that people celebrate throughout the country? Do you have any ideas? I mean, I know you during the exhibit. What are some other ideas that you have come across? Anything that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, well, a lot of what goes on in the Black community is just sharing that history. It's not just here in Petaluma. It's actually all over. Kids write speeches about various Black people that they have been told about in history. And they do, though. They perform those in churches and in their schools. They also have different foods and stuff that we, you know, that are considered soul foods or Black foods. And so there are dinners and all sorts of things that are going on during the month. And there are movies and stuff that the kids, or not just kids, but adults too, will share during Black History Month.
What do you think are some good movies that maybe people can listen to or watch that would bring them up to date? Everybody has Netflix and all that other good stuff.
You know, the most, Fences is a good movie, yeah. But the other one with the Black women who were considered computers, and I'm forgetting the name of it right now.
Oh, that's right. The
Hidden Faces.
Hidden Faces. Hidden Faces.
Yes.
You know, it's just, that movie is just amazing. I saw it twice. I saw it by myself once, and I took my granddaughters to see it. And I did because it's something that I didn't know about.
Right.
And that's something that's definitely not in the textbooks. But it is a fact. It's our history.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. We have a little time.
Well, the movie is about these women. And, you know, I want to take a sidestep here because it talked about women. I'm sure there must have been some men put in this same kind of situation. I don't know. This is something that was totally new to me, and I'm still researching this. But anyway, the movie talks about these women who were considered computers. They did all of the computing work before we had the IBM machine. And so they were brought in, and they were in the back room doing this. We never heard about these Black women who were doing this kind of work.
There was three women, Mary, somebody.
It was more than three of them, but there were three basically talked about, I think, in the movie. And so they were helping to get the space shuttle up. And we never heard anything about that. I hadn't.
Well, someone took the time to to do the research.
And
now you have the history. And what does that history do for you?
It makes me want to learn more and more. So what I've been doing is spending a little time on my computer trying to do some research and see what I can truly find out about these women.
You brought your granddaughters. How were they affected by watching the movie?
You know, they were surprised because they said, "Grandma, you didn't tell us anything about this." Well, you know, I tell them so much stuff about my background and stuff because I grew up in the South also. And it was segregated at the time. And I went to all black schools. My whole life was just, you know, in a black community and really didn't have any interaction with anybody other than black people until I was a grown person. And my first job, my college I went to, was a totally black school. So, and I've spent a lot of time trying to get them to be aware of their history so they'll know and understand and they won't sit back and let things happen to them, but be proactive versus, you know, after the fact and being involved in things. And so when they went to this movie and saw these women, it gave them courage and said, wow, we could do something like that.
That's mm-hmm. the whole point.
Yeah.
It gives courage. It gives you, you say, oh my God, if they can do it, I can do it.
Exactly.
And again,
mm-hmm.
you see the obstacles, but once you have that determination, you know, that's why we do in the women's spaces, we do the women's spaces pledge at the end of the month about self-esteem. Like your self-esteem mm-hmm. doesn't depend on anything outside of you. And mm-hmm. I know for just being brought up Jewish and some of the prejudice, but I can change my name, you know, I can change my neighborhood
mm-hmm. right.
With an African American human being, there you are, you know, you're right there. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing thing when you find out your history in spite of all that you were able to do what you needed to do and make such a strong contribution.
That's right. And, you know, just sort of bringing our children up and our grandchildren up in a world where things are really different from when we were coming up,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving them the courage to do their best in school and just move forward. It's really, you know, empowering for them.
Well, what are some of the challenges that you see young African American youth facing today? What is your sense?
I see it as not falling into the complacency. You know, not just being complacent with the way things are, but really moving forward. Going that extra step, getting the best education that you possibly can,
mm-hmm.
and not being afraid to speak up. When something's wrong, speak up, and getting involved, doing some action, you know. Right now, we have to be, you know, we have to mobilize ourselves and be empowered.
Well, you know, this is a good time. Did you want to say something, Gloria?
No, not at this time.
Well, this is a good time to take a break.
Okay,
and I have a great song that I just love. It's called Ain't Nobody Gonna Turn Me Around. And it's sang by Lydia Violet.
Mm.
And I think this is the perfect time to just put that song in. And then when we come back, folks, we'll be continuing our conversation with Faith Roth and Gloria Robinson.
Marching up to freedom land.
Hey, that's my motto. Keep on walking and keep on talking. You know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about, introducing ordinary women doing extraordinary things that are not afraid to speak out. Well, with me in the studio today is two special guests. That's Gloria Robinson and Faith Roth. And welcome back again, ladies. And right now, Gloria is going to give us a little bit of history about the Petaluma Blacks, which is a very, very interesting organization. So talk a little bit about the organization, Gloria, how it started and your involvement.
Petaluma Blacks is we are a grassroots organization. And what happened is that the fact that all of the Afro-American families in Petaluma got together and decided that we wanted to do something because we had kids in school and we wanted them to be aware of our history. But it was not just for our kids. We wanted to share our culture with the community because it was predominantly, you know, a white community. So through educational programs and also share about accomplishments of Afro-Americans, what they have done in this nation, because like the movie that just came out, we didn't know none of that kind of stuff. So it's different things that we were able to, you know, share with the community about Afro-Americans.
Yeah. Well, also, and you mentioned another thing while we were on the break with the music break, you mentioned the movie The Help. Yeah. And The Help really gives another aspect. And not only that, another aspect of ordinary women doing extraordinary things. So go ahead, continue.
Let's see. Afro-Americans have made this nation. Hearts must change to stop discrimination. Let's be vigilant but not afraid. So that's pretty much
I
think about.
Let's be vigilant.
Yeah.
Like, look, I always wear this. Love your neighbor.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's real simple.
Mm-hmm.
Just love each other. Like each other. You don't have to be best friends. But, hey, we're all as human beings.
That's right.
I'd like to say one thing right here is that Gloria didn't say was that she really is the founder of our group, Petaluma Blacks for Community Development. She was the one with the idea of doing – she had been in Petaluma for some time when I met her. And she was the one who would constantly say, we need to get ourselves organized, not just for social things, but for others. We're bringing our children into this community. We need to make the community aware of the fact that we are here and that we have a history we want to share so that our children know that, because it's not in the school books. And so she was really the one who was talking to all of us. And we decided as a group, yeah, we want to do that. And that's when I think the first thing that we did was have our picnic that year, and it was amazing. We had so many families come out, and we would go around. If we saw somebody in the store or whatever, we'd ask them and we'd tell them about what we were doing and stuff, and getting people involved. So Gloria really was she is the founder of our group.
Okay, so I'm changing your biography again. You are the founder. I understand that it's hard to take kudos. Mm-hmm. You know, especially as women, you know, like someone's compliment, oh, no, you know, or they say, no, we want to honor you, Gloria Robinson. Thank you for all you do for the community. And it's important.
Thank you.
We need more models, to be honest with you.
Right.
Okay, let's start talking about this exhibit. Tell us a little bit about the exhibit and why you think it is so important. And I noticed this year, every year you have a different theme. Mm-hmm. And this year, I believe it's African-American in sports. And man, you have a lot there.
Okay, so the exhibit is Black Athletes, Their Challenges, Triumphs, and Impact on American Culture. And the reason we chose this, we wanted to profile Black athletes that have made a difference through their involvement in sports. Many of them had to start out in their careers started actually in separate Black leagues. And we knew about the Black Baseball League. But, you know, a lot of us didn't know about the Black Golf League either, the fact that
there was a golf league. Oh, that's amazing.
There were Blacks who were actually playing golf, but they could not participate with whites. Everything was totally separate. Charlie Cliff Sifford, born in 1922, He was the first African-American to play in the PGA. And really, when he started to try and get into it, what he had to do was he had gotten an invitation from someone else. Blacks were not given invitations to that. And he got one from someone else. So he broke that barrier, and he was kind of considered kind of like Jackie Robinson, who broke the barrier in baseball. So what our exhibit this year is trying to show some of the challenges, not just the racial challenge, but some of them were physical challenges also. Wilma Rudolph was one of them. She had polio as a child, and she overcame that because she had strength and she had courage, and she overcame that to be a track and field star.
And from polio, really?
Really.
Oh my goodness.
She really worked at getting her body into condition. And then Jesse Owens, who, you know, stood up in the Olympics, the 1936 Olympics, he won 4 gold medals.
Oh, that pissed Hitler off.
It did piss Hitler off. I'm glad you said that and not me.
Oh, no. I remember watching the biography, and also they show in some of the Hitler, you know, some of the stories about World War II in Nazi Germany, they bring that up, the whole thing of the Olympics.
Exactly.
And how he left. He was so mad he left. He left the stadium.
He did leave the stadium. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so blacks have been involved in sports for a very long time. In fact, black jockeys were really used before white men were. In 1875, Oliver Lewis became the first jockey, not just first black, but first jockey to win the Kentucky Derby. And wow. So we don't have that information. So what we've done, we've set up a little, the whole exhibit is around all of the sports and stuff, trying to get as much in as possible, but not just the ones from our past, but also some of our own children that have played sports and coming along in the sports area. So we've looked at all of it. But the key is trying to show you, yes, they've gotten their bodies physically fit to work at these sports, but it's also a mental thing too. Mm-hmm. And that they have the courage to stand up and work for what they believe in.
Well, also when you mentioned Jackie Robinson, one of the saddest things about him was the actual abuse that he took when he came on the field. I mean, that in itself, the fact that he sucked it in, that's how I analyze it, and he just stood there with all his dignity and proved what a great athlete he was that, you know, they're not going to say anything anymore.
But also what we don't hear about a lot is that when he was in the military, he refused to give up his seat on a bus in the South. And he was almost court-martialed for that.
Oh, my goodness.
But people stood up for him. And so as a result of that, he was able to finish his career in the military. But we don't hear that. We don't know that. Mm-hmm. And he was a civil rights leader.
But also why it's important is because you see when you have an obstacle in front of you, these people let you know that, no, you know, if you, again, back to that trial with God, we have free choice. You make a choice.
Yeah.
You're going to let someone barrel you down, or you're going to say, look, I'm going to stand up for who I am. Mm-hmm. So tell us, was anything special? I know you're having a reception. The reception has already happened, or
right.
Is it going to happen?
Yes.
Or?
Our jazz concert was on February 3rd, and it was a success. In fact, it was a sellout. It normally is. But also on February 24th is our annual Black History Program, which this is our 39th year. Next year will be our 40th year. And this year, we have a speaker, Bubba Parrish, who is a former San Francisco 49er and also a national public speaker now. And he is going to speak to actually our theme this year about the challenges, triumphs, and the impact on American culture of black athletes. And then on the 26th, our final event at 4 p.m. at Petaluma Christian Church, that is at 1160 Schumann Lane in Petaluma, will be our annual gospel hour. And we have a special treat, a group of women from Oakland who will be singing. And also we have the, I don't want to make a mistake on the name of the church, it's the Inner
City Fellowship.
Inner City, City Fellowship from Marin. City. It used to be Marin City Church. They'll be there, and also a group from Community Baptist Church right here in Santa Rosa.
And well, those are special groups that will be singing from Community Baptist. They are called the Anointed Ones.
Well, I'm going to have all this posted on Women's Spaces.
Okay.
At www.womenspaces.com, where I announce, you know, that you're on the show. I'll also put the schedule here. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're coming to the end of our segment, and let me just give people the address. It's 20 Fort Street in downtown Petaluma. And it's the telephone number, if you want more information, is 778-4398, area code 707. There's several, on February 24th, they're going to have their annual Black History Program, and then on February 26th is going to be the Gospel Hour. And all these things are going to be happening down in Petaluma, and like I said, I will have it posted. Any last things that you ladies would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, the hours of the museum is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, from 10 until 4, and then on Sundays it's open from 12 until 3 o'clock.
And folks, you do not want to miss these exhibits. I mean, I'm just listening. I'm curious. I want to find out, you know, because I had no idea that there was a Black golf group. You know, I mean, all these little things that come up. So thank you so much. Well, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Faith Ross.
Thank you.
And also Gloria Robinson for coming into Women's Spaces and having this absolutely wonderful conversation.
Thank you for allowing us to be here and spend this time with you.
Oh, just loved it. Anyway, wow, what a show. I want to thank Gloria Robinson again and Faith Ross for being here, being such wonderful, wonderful guest. I remind you that the Black History Month celebration is going to be happening at the Petaluma Museum, and that's at 20 Fort Street in Petaluma. Be there or be square. Remind all your friends to let people know that Women's Spaces is on the air at 11 o'clock tonight. I get to listen to my own program. I'm really excited about that. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements. And if you have any birthday, you want to announce a birthday or anything, you know, just email me at elaine@womenspaces.com, and I'm very happy to announce it. Remember, our children are the future. And we must never lose sight of that. You know, we must never lose sight of that. And that's what we were talking about today. We were talking about history, and we were talking about the future, and we were talking about the motivation. If you notice, most people were motivated about the future for themselves and their children. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is